Great to see you here in church this morning. We are looking at the birth of Jesus, and as Matt said, it's not Christmas. They're the first two things I want to say to you. I know time goes fast, but it's not Christmas yet. It is interesting, isn't it, how the passages of our sermon series in Luke's Gospel seem to have fit different events in the life of our church. So last week we looked at Mary, in Luke's Gospel, and it was Mother's Day. This week, we look at the birth of Jesus, and the Dye family have given birth to their son. They've named him Joshua, which means Jesus. Another coincidence. So I'm just wondering what's going to happen next week with John the Baptist. What event in the life of our church will coincide? Don't know. Anyway, we're looking at Luke's Gospel and this question, who is Jesus? A very important one, who is Jesus? And I think Luke really significantly advances the answer to that question this week as he unfolds the details of Jesus' birth. And I think he also gives us a glimpse into another answer to another question, and that is, what has Jesus come to do? That's kind of unfolded more in the second half of Luke's Gospel. But we get more than a hint of what that will be from this chapter, Luke 2. Well, let's pray and ask God to help us. Our great Heavenly Father, we do give you great thanks for the birth of the Lord Jesus, our Saviour. Father, thank you for preserving Luke's Gospel for our benefit. Father, we pray this morning as we look into your word that you'd find us hungry to know what you say and also hungry to obey, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, when you think about Jesus' birth, think about his life, it's hard to think of anyone in the history of the world who's had more, there's been more expectation placed on him even before he was born. That's so unlike our kids, isn't it? When our kids are born, we really don't know what we're going to get. It's really a question mark, you'll see on the next slide. How will they turn out? What will become of them? How will their lives fit in to God's great plans? It's all a mystery. I remember bringing my first daughter home from hospital nearly 8 years ago, and I still remember that moment in the car when we took her home, driving cautiously all the way home. Thinking to myself, looking in the rear mirror and thinking to myself, who is this girl? Who is this girl that God has given us to love? I just don't know who I know very little about her. But it's not the case with Jesus, is it? We actually know lots about Jesus before he's even born. Jesus is preceded by thousands of years of Old Testament prophecy. And even Luke, in his orderly account, has set out in chapter 1 and reminded us of what the angel said to Mary. Let's just go over that. In verse 30 of chapter 1, remember what Mary was told. Imagine being told this about your son. The angel said, your son will be great. He'll be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. So now, as Luke begins the journey of how these expectations will come to fruition through the life of Jesus, beginning it with his birth. So there's 4 points this morning if you're writing notes. The king is here. The king is here, but he's not what you expect. The king is the saviour, and the king is a Jew. So the first one, the king is here. Diving straight into Luke 2. The first clue that we get that Jesus is the king that has arrived is that he's born in Bethlehem. That's very significant. If you have eyes to see, of course, it's no surprise that Jesus is born in Bethlehem. If you have a look at this map, Luke reminds us in verse 4, this is the town of David. So this little place in Bethlehem, as Darren said, about 10, 20 k's southwest of Jerusalem, is a famous town. Famous because King David, God's chosen king in the Old Testament, was born there 1,000 years earlier. It's significant because God had promised, as we heard in the Old Testament reading in Micah chapter 5, that even though this is a small backwater place, a great ruler is going to come out of this little town, Bethlehem. And that ruler, whose origins are of old, are from ancient times, Micah says, will lead, will be a great shepherd. Have a look at that quote again. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. And Jesus is that person. Jesus is that king, that ruler who has arrived. Not just for Israel, but it's prophesied for the whole world. And later in the chapter, Simeon will actually point us in that direction. The whole world will be affected by this one. But Luke also wants us to note the circumstances that bring the birth of this king to Bethlehem. Have a look in verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken in the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. Now again, part of Luke's orderly account, he sets the birth of Jesus in history, doesn't he? He wants us to know this is a real event. If you were there and in that particular corner of the Roman Empire, that particular time, you would have seen these events take place. Now, in one sense, there's nothing unusual about that. The Bible's telling us real events, real historical events. But more than that, do you notice there's actually two kings on view in this early part of chapter 2? There's one very visible and very powerful earthly ruler in the Caesar that's mentioned, ordering a census and making everyone, including Mary and Joseph, go to their hometown. You know, no online census forms. You've got to go back to your own town. And then behind the scenes, I think we're meant to see God at work, ordering the events to ensure that his chosen king is born in Bethlehem as it was prophesied. So suddenly Luke wants us to see that this great emperor in Rome, for all his power and his might, is under the sovereign control of God. That God is the one who's